Payton steps in, lobs it. Oh, it hits Pauls in the head. But Budke's there to lay it up and in. Pauls turned the rebound because he thought Payton was going to shoot it. Payton threw it to Pauls, who had his back turned to the bucket, and the ball bounced off Sam Paul's head and right to Budke, laid it up and in. That is all about the power of the headband, ladies and gentlemen.
That was one of the most interesting, I guess I could say, and most important plays, actually, in the 2014 at 3A Substate Semifinal comeback win for the Bullet Trojans over the Lions there in 2014. That is our feature game today on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94 for Comeback Rally Week. We'll be playing the fourth quarter and overtime of that game coming up momentarily here on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket. Just first, a few things that we want to get to before we get to that. Again, for the latest in local sports, you can always check out NCKSSports.com. We've got the latest from the KBCA as far as their award winners for the 2019-20 season, as well as all academic and scholarship winners from the KBCA as well. And that's all at your fingertips at KatyCountry94.com. Yesterday we talked about Project 11 with Alex Smith and his injury that he had, the broken leg, and his rehab, trying to get back, first of all, just to living, and then second of all, get back to possibly a return to football. And I saw this graphic, and Wade sent this to me as well, but I'd seen this before, but it's some of the things that are parallels when you talk about Alex Smith and Joe Theismann, who got injured in 1985 with a broken leg. So just the parallels are just kind of strange, to be completely honest with you. The injury was the broken right tibia and fibula. And that's for both of them, Joe Theismann and Alex Smith. They both were injured on November 18th and broke their leg on that date. Again, Theismann was in 1985 and Smith was in 2018. So 27 years later there. And then that'd be 33 years later. I don't know 27 came from. I'm like, I did not do good math there. Math was never my strong suit, let's just put it that way. So, again, 85 to 2018, Joe Theismann, Alex Smith injuries. Both teams, Washington Redskins, they both played for. They're both Washington, D.C. Both injuries happened at the 39-yard line. This is just crazy when you look at it. Final score of the games in both games, the Redskins and Giants games, 23-21 was the final score in both games. Caused by three-time Defensive Player of the Year Lawrence Taylor on Joe Theismann, three-time Defensive Player of the Year J.J. Watt, the one that hit Alex Smith. And then the left tackle, Blindside. If you've seen the Blindside movie, that's actually one of the biggest featured parts of it, that you have to protect the blindside. And right at the beginning of the movie, they show Joe Theismann not being protected on his blind side by his left tackle and having his leg broken, while Pro Bowl left tackle Joe Jacoby was off the field due to injury for the Redskins when Theismann got hurt. Pro Bowl left tackle Trent Williams was off the field due to injury when Alex Smith got hurt. So some of those things are it's kind of crazy when you think about how much everything matched up there, and both players for the Redskins getting injured on the same day, and just all those things and circumstances that seem to match are just weird. I guess it's one of those things that you can't explain probably in life, but very interesting to look back and see all those facts that were identical almost. All right, and also other NFL notes we're going to get to, but first some of the things that happened on this date in history. In 1915, Boston Red Sox slugger Babe Ruth hit his first home run of his career in a 4-3 loss to the New York Yankees, the Polo Grounds. As I said, Boston Red Sox slugger Babe Ruth. He was traded in 1918 to those Yankees that he hit his first home run in 1915 in a game against them. In 1982, on this date, Seattle Mariners pitcher Gaylord Perry won his 300th game in a 7-3 win over the New York Yankees at the King Dome. Also, let's go back to 1954. On this date, British long-distance runner Roger Bannister completed a mile run in a time of 3:59.4 at Iffley Road Track at Oxford University. It was the first mile to be run in less than 4 minutes. There's many people that have run the sub-4 mile now, but it was a big deal back then. I wasn't alive, obviously, but it was a big deal in 1954. Just when you go back and look at the history of things, you know that was something huge back there. Again, he was the first one in 1954 to run a sub-4 mile. 1998, on this date in history, rookie Chicago Cubs pitcher Kerry Wood, in his fifth career start, threw a one-hit, no-walk, 20-strikeout game in a 2-0 win over the Houston Astros at Wrigley Field. I remember that. Kerry Wood was a sensation at that time, and definitely a lot of people probably remember that if they were alive during that time and seeing Kerry Wood at the start of his career just kind of vault and take off real early. Now, he didn't sustain it for a long, long time, but he was still a very good pitcher even after that for quite some time. But again, Kerry Wood, that was in 1998 when he had his 20-strikeout, one-hit game on this date in history. All right, back to the NFL. We have one story. Frank Gore has reached a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Gore has not been overly efficient and effective here the last few seasons, but he did play with Buffalo last year. He had 8 starts, played 16 games, and ran for over 500 yards. I had all the stats, but apparently this page doesn't want to load for me right now. But Frank Gore has reached a one-year deal with the New York Jets to stay in the division there in the AFC East, as again last year he was with the Buffalo Bills. The newest power rankings have been released post-NFL draft, and to nobody's real big surprise, the Chiefs are still number one in most power rankings, including ESPN and CBS Sports. As you look at the Chiefs, they're number one at ESPN, and they said drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire not only gives the team another threat, it's another sign the Chiefs are committed to surrounding Mahomes with top offensive skill players. Again, Kansas City winning the Super Bowl there, and they are number one in the power rankings in both ESPN and CBSSports.com. One of the surprises, I would say, would be where maybe the Cardinals landed in some of these power rankings. The Ravens are still number two in the ESPN. San Francisco 49ers number three. Saints number four. And the Seahawks moved up a spot to number five. And the Packers moving down a spot to number six. Buccaneers are number seven, up from 10 on the ESPN power rankings. And the Titans moved down to 8 from 7. Vikings are down to 9 from 8. And the Cowboys are up to number 10. Also, the Buffalo Bills are number 11 in the ESPN power rankings. The Eagles 12, Colts 13, Steelers 14, and Patriots 15. The interesting ones were on the CBS Sports one. Pete Prisco does these, and sometimes you just kind of wonder some of the differences. But again, he does have the Chiefs 1, the Ravens 2, Saints 3, 49ers are 4. He's got the Bills all the way up at 5. Moving up 2 spots from 7 in his last power rankings, the Seahawks 6, Packers 7, Buccaneers 8, Eagles 9th, and Cowboys 10th. The Cardinals, as I mentioned, kind of a bit of a surprise. They're moving up 5 spots from 17 to 12 in the post-draft power rankings. Obviously, they did get DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason here, and Pete Prisco says that they got some guys to fix their defense, so it'll be much improved. So that's probably the biggest jump that you see there. A 5-spot jump, and the Patriots moved down 5 spots after their draft to 17 from number 12. So they kind of basically just swapped spots there, the Cardinals and Patriots, in those power rankings from CBSSports.com. Take all that for what it's worth. Again, none of that means anything right now. And the season will start. They'll run through everything. They'll play as long as they can play. They'll get everything done and move on from there and be able to play it out. So power rankings really don't mean anything other than fodder for us to talk about and keep you updated on what people are thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Should be a very interesting season coming up as long as they can get it rolling. Andy Reid, again, talked with folks last week and said, you know, we're excited to go back and possibly have a chance to compete again for a Super Bowl championship. Said we're not going to just keep things the exact same. We're going to have to evolve and get better as we go on. And that's the case for the Chiefs as they get ready for the 2020 season. Again, the schedule will be released coming up on Thursday, tomorrow night. We'll know when and where the Chiefs are playing their opponents. We already know who the 16 opponents will be for the Chiefs, but again, we'll find out when and where they play, when they open the season. Some of the highlights of the schedule, we'll most certainly have all that for you coming up on our Friday sportscast. We'll most likely talk about it just a bit on the Sports Ticket on Friday as well, the schedule for the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, it's not a whole lot going on right now as far as that's concerned. Those are the latest notes from the professional sports world and the NFL as well. Again, this morning, we have Comeback and Rally Week continuing here on Katy Country 94. And today's Comeback and Rally is the 2014 3A Boys Substate Semifinal between the Beloit Trojans and the Lions Lions. Ryan Allard will join us here momentarily. We'll play the fourth quarter and the overtime period of that 3A Substate Semifinal win for the Bullet Trojans in comeback fashion. So we hope you enjoy that here this morning on Katy Country 94, Comeback Rally Week on the Sports Ticket.
Welcome back to Comeback or Rally Week here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, replaying portions of games involving area teams that required a comeback or rally to win. And today we feature the 3A Boys Substate Basketball Semifinal between Beloit and Lions on March 6th of 2014. That was held in Hoisington, and Beloit was able to come from behind down four with 18 seconds to go to force overtime. Lions had a couple of free throws on top of that with 18 seconds to play, but missed those. And one thing that stands out to me, reflecting back, R.J. Jackson with a layup.
They get it into Bailey better. Bailey with the dribble, brings up the floor. Bailey gives it up to Jackson. Jackson wide open. Layup good!
And Beloit was able to go on and win that game in overtime and eventually go on to the state tournament in 2014. And here to talk about that amazing win 6 years ago as head coach of the Trojans then and now, Ryan Eilert. And Ryan, that was one of those games where you just had to think. It looked bleak. And I remember you coming up to me after the game in the post-game interview saying, well, I was kind of prepared to talk about this in a different way because it did not look good, but somehow your team came through.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the craziest games we've ever had as a coaching staff, and just a tremendous finish to it. Towards the end, it was a semifinal game. I don't remember how many losses Lions had. They were a good team, but their record, they were a little bit above 500, I think. But towards the end, I mean, it is just one of those circumstances. You just didn't think there was any way you were going to come back, and we're down four, like you said, with 18 seconds to go, and their guy, best player, shooting two free throws. And one of the plays that stands out to me, and it was a little bit before that, kind of as we're making our rally to even give ourselves a chance, but, things just didn't go our way till about the last 2 minutes or so, and then all of a sudden things turned. And one of them was Peyton Vetter was in the corner ready to shoot a three, and Sam Pauls was posted up on the block on his side. Well, Peyton kind of pulled up to shoot, and Sam turned to go rebound, but Peyton decided to pass the ball into Sam, but Sam's, by that point, his back was turned, and Peyton's pass actually bounced off the back of Sam's head over the top, but luckily it went to Hunter Budke just right on the other side, who's able to put it back in. I think that was probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes ago in the game.
Peyton steps in, lobs it. Oh, it falls in the head, but Budke's there to lay it up and in. Pauls turned and rebound because he thought Peyton was going to shoot it. Peyton threw it to Pauls, who had his back turned to the bucket, and the ball bounced off Sam Pauls' head and right to Budke, laid it up and in. That is all about the power of the headband, ladies and gentlemen. 69-68, Beloit.
But it was just funny going back to watch that because we had guys on the bench. Colson Reams put his head down when, as soon as that pass hit Sam's head, and didn't think we had a chance, and didn't actually even see Hunter make it, but. And then we come back to that last series, and they miss their free throws. We come down and get a bucket, and they have to go. We call a timeout, and they're going the length of the court. Well, they sent a guy deep, and they threw it deep, but it glanced off his finger. And so we got the ball needing to go the full length of the court with, I don't know, it was probably about 5 or 6 seconds to go. And one thing that I remember about that is they changed what they did. And they came up and pressured, and Bailey Vetter, you give him an open floor with guys spread out, he's going to be able to get into the lane, and that's exactly what happened is he was able to get through some guys and made RJ's guy come over to help and able to dish to RJ to get the bucket right at the end to tie it at the end of regulation. And then overtime was a back-and-forth game, and they hit a three, or sorry, missed a three at the buzzer, I think, that would have given them the win, so... just a crazy comeback game that has a lot of great memories from it.
It was a crazy game. Beloit went on to win that game 72-71, kept their season alive. They would knock off TMP in the sub-state championship and then eventually go on to the state tournament. So let's go back in time to March 6, 2014. We pick it up the beginning of the fourth quarter, Beloit and Lions, 3A boys sub-state basketball semifinal, a comeback for the Trojans.
Welcome back. Beloit on the ropes. Bailey Benner drives all the way to the hoop and lays it up and in. Bailey Benner with 11, 52-46. Lions into that third quarter on a 10-0 run, their biggest lead, which is 8. And Beloit has not been down by 8 very often this year, I can tell you that. May South would be they're down 10 early in a game this season, and of course, lost to May South in the finals by quite a bit at Sterling. foul on Colson Reams the other way. That's his second. Team foul number two, actually third team foul on Beloit. McClure gets it in the paint yet. Knocked away by Pauls. It skips around, and Baylor Vetter comes away with it. Just five turnovers on Lions. Beloit with four turnovers. Both teams have played very well tonight. Offensively, really good. Haven't turned the ball over a lot. Both teams have struggled at times defensively. Colson Reams, step back three, top of the circle, in and out. Pena, yet another rebound for Lions. One shot and out for Beloit. McClure, over to Long, wide open, another three. This one too strong. And then Jackson had it knocked out of bounds by Pena. Yeah, officially got that one right. Pena hit it from behind over Jackson. Well, if Long hit that, he's been red hot. He's had four threes tonight. He had 23 coming in for the year. Four tonight. James Jared with 15 points. Colson Reams guarded by Jared, and that's a foul. Jared was riding him on the perimeter, and Jared just picked up his fourth. So that's a big development here. Cardone will come in. Jared has been the main threat. In fact, he's made all four threes for Lions this evening. 52-46. Lions with the lead. Exactly 7 minutes to go in one of these two team seasons. And a lot of people would be very surprised across the state if Lions knocked off away in the sub-state semis. There's an undefeated team, I believe, Council Grove, that went down earlier tonight. Undefeated and lost in the semis in 4A. Bailey Vetter to Peyton Vetter. Peyton gets a screen for Jackson. Puts it back to Reams. Bailey Vetter clapping his hands. He wants the ball. Good closeout by Nave. Lions man-to-man defense has been good. Inside Pauls. Great pass by Bailey Vetter, and Pauls lays it up and in. Sam with 52-48. Beloit now within four with 6:32 to play in the fourth. It's when you learn a lot about your team and your leadership and your upperclassmen when you get in a tough situation like this. Do you buckle down and get it done, or do you start to doubt yourself? 52-48, double team in the post on Kirkcart. Passes it out, knocked away by Jackson. Great denial defense. Bailey Vetter comes away with it for Beloit. 52-48. Bailey, three, top of the circle, bingo! Bailey Vetter with his second three of the game, and Beloit is within one, 52-51 with 5:57 to go. And a timeout called by Lions right before Dave had slipped and fallen. The ball was loose. Lions down to one timeout. 5:56 to go in the fourth. Beloit down one. Back in 1 minute. This is Trojan basketball. Welcome back. Beloit trying to come back from an eight-point deficit. It is 52-51, a three by Nave in the corner, in and out. Ball tipped around. It's loose. Comes to Peyton Vetter. Beloit can retake the lead. Peyton, jump stop all the way. There's some contact. Lays it up and in. They're going to count it? There's a foul, but they're going to count it. I think they might call this on the floor before the shot. Doug Eberlaker comes over to the scores table and tells us what the call is. Foul is on Pena. That's his second. 16 foul. That was on the floor. Jackson in the Peyton Vetter. He drives baseline. Double team, pump fake, and a foul. And Peyton will go to the line for two free throws. Lions led 52-44 as they outscored Beloit 22-12 in that third quarter. So Peyton Vetter to the line. The foul was on Pena. Picks up number two, and I picks up number three. 17 foul. Peyton Vetter to the line. Free throw good. Tell you what a response. Beloit was down 52-44. They have scored eight unanswered to start the fourth quarter. Second free throw is no good for Peyton. A rare miss. 83% foul shooter. Peyton with 12 on the night. We're tied at 52 with 5:37 to go. And the ball knocked out of bounds far side. A reach in on Bailey Vetter is called. To Bailey with the first, well, just the second, just the 14th foul on Beloit. Tacoma boys with an upset tonight. Four. 63-61, Tacoma boys upset Sylvan Lucas, so St. John's Tipton will play Natoma, which is a surprise to many, including myself. So a few upsets already across the state. Beloit hopes to avoid that same distinction here in a little while. Lions with the ball, 52-52 tie. Moving to my left, Kirkcart puts on the floor against Falls. Nothing doing. Now to Nave, guarded by Bailey Vetter. Out front, Peyton Vetter went for the steal. Came up empty. McClure drives, puts it up against Jackson. Banks it up, in and out. Foul called on RJ. And Peyton went for the steal, and that left RJ having to defend McClure. Peyton got a little bit, I don't want to say greedy. He thought he could get a steal, but when you don't come up with a steal, then your man drives in, and that puts your other teammate at a little bit of peril. And on top of that, he already has three, now make it four fouls on R.J. Jackson. Coach Eiley, we'll see what he does, because he's Jackson out there. As the free throw rolls in for McClure. McClure with 8 points. Hunter Buckey is in. R.J. Jackson will go out. So Beloit with the 8-0 run to tie it. The Lions now back in front, 54-52 with 5:15 to play. Second free throw, McClure, line drive, but good. He has 9 on the night, averages 12. Last 2 years, Beloit has knocked off Lions, but both games have been close. This one close as well. You never know that one team's 20-1, the other's 10-11. Records can be misleading. Inside, Bailey Vetter spins baseline, up and under. Scoop is good. What a tough shot by Bailey Vetter at 16, the sophomore, coming up big, and we're tied at 54. We have 9 ties in this ballgame, but just a few lead changes. McClure drives up Peyton Vetter. What a pass underneath the Kirkhart. Missed the layup as he was challenged by Paul. Rebound, Hunter Buckey. Wow. Threading the needle. A great look by McClure, but Paul's helped out, saved the bucket. Colton Reams, screen set by Buckey. Now to Peyton Vetter. Peyton has a long three. That misses everything. That was probably not the shot Beloit needed. I know Peyton's a really good three-point shooter, but that one was a little bit out of his range, and he's got a little bit anxious, and I think Peyton knew it as soon as he shot it. Sometimes you get wrapped up in the moment a little bit, but Peyton, another solid game with 12 points and a three-pointer. Bailey Vetter, 16 points and a couple of threes. Jackson has 11 tonight. 54-54 with 4:20 to play. Somebody sees it coming to an end very soon. Driving based on his nave, he runs right into Paul's. He's called for a travel. 7 turnovers for Lions, and they have 3 of those in the fourth quarter. The Lions had Beloit on the ropes. They were up 52-44 going into the fourth after they ended the third quarter on a 10-0 spurt. But to Beloit's credit, they didn't hang their head. They just got angry. They played angry like the Wichita State Shockers do. Went on an 8-0 run to tie it up. And now it's anybody's game, which I'm sure Lions would have taken before the night had begun. And you told Coach Freeze, if you're tied with 4 minutes to go, would you take it? And I guarantee you would have said in a heartbeat. Colson Reams trying to drive, and a bump and a foul called on Cardon. And Cardon with the bump, that'll be his first and team foul number 8. It'll be a 1-1 for Colson Reams. So Colson Reams to the line for the 1-1. He's a 76% foul shooter. He's 0-1 from the stripe tonight. Free throw is up and good by Colson. 5'6 sophomore that plays older than his age. He's hit 33s this year, had a career-high 18 points against Ellsworth, the first round of Substate on Monday. He's been double figures 13 of Beloit's 21 games as a sophomore. Second free throw. Ice water in his veins. Colson drills both free throws. And it's 56-54 Beloit with 3:56 to play. We've had 10 ties here in this contest. Dave running the point. Interesting. McClure playing as an off guard. They're trying to free him up. Beloit's got to stick with Jared, too. He's hit 4 threes. Here's Kirkhart guarded by Paul. Beloit leading by 2. Chargers trying to move on to a sub-state final once again, where they would face TMP Saturday at 7:30. McClure drives out of control. Double clutch misses. Paul's the rebound. Paul needs somebody to come and get the ball, and Reams does. Reams has it in the front court. Colson's going to attack, and now he tries to throw it to Buckey. He should have taken it all the way, and it is knocked away and stolen by Lions. Bad decision by Colson. Should have taken to the hoop. Instead, the other way, Colson nearly knocks away for a turnover. Who was it? Are they going to call a foul? I didn't know about a foul there, but the ball was last touch maybe by Beloit. Let's see what they're going to call. I think it's a foul on Reams. It's on Reams with a push. That's his third. Team foul number 6. So 3:14 to go in this one. 56-54. Beloit clinging to a 2-point lead. Inbounds to Kirkhart. Here's McClure. McClure out front. It goes to Pena. With it is Jarrett. James Jarrett, a 5'11 senior, has 15 points and 4 threes. Kirkhart goes to work against Paul. Leans in, forces up and in. Grady Kirkhart with 10, averages 12, and we're tied at 56 with 2:53 to play. Bailey Vetter spin dribble to the foul line, and we have a whistle and a reach in on Cardon. His second personal, 19 foul. And Beloit back to the line. It'll be a 1-1 for Bailey Vedder. Now, Bailey is just 1-5 from the line the last two games combined. 1-4 against Ellsworth, 0-1 tonight. Beloit tonight, they haven't had a lot of free throw attempts. In fact, as a team, Beloit this evening, they are 3-5. Neither team shot a lot of free throws. Free throw, Bailey is good. Big shot by the sophomore. Well, Beloit, they have been in the sub-state finals the last four seasons. As the second free throw is also good by Bailey, it's 2 out of 3. He has 18 points. It's 58-56 Beloit with 2:49 to go. Jared steps in, jumper in the lane, hits it to go from 15. James Jared, what a game. He has 17, double his average. We're tied at 58 with 2:29 to play. Bailey Vedder, spin dribble lane, turns, fadeaway, in and out, halfway down and out. Tough shooting luck for Bailey Vedder. I don't know how that came out of the can. And now Lions has a chance to take the lead, 58-58. McClure going to work as Peyton Vedder gets the screen. He pops the three. McClure drills it, and he knew it when he shot it. He wanted that one all the way. 12 for McClure. Timeout, Beloit. McClure with his first three of the night, his 29th of the year. He has 12 at 61-58 Lions. Timeout on the floor called by Beloit. Back after this. Welcome back. 2:02 to go in this sub-state semifinal, and it's been a dandy. Lions, the number 5 seed, trying to pull off a big upset here tonight over the number 1 seed, Beloit at 20-1 coming in. 61-58 Lions. Inside it, should have given Peyton Vedder in the pass, deflected out of bounds by McClure, who just hit a tie-breaking three right before the Beloit timeout. He won it all along, got a high screen, and launched the three from top of the key and drilled it. 61-58 Lions. Inside it goes Jackson. Turn around, fadeaway, halfway down and out. That's two straight shots for Beloit. Bailey Vedder and R.J. Jackson. Shots are halfway down, and the iron unkind. 61-58. You're Beloit. You hope that's not an omen. Peyton Vedder guarding McClure. Boy, only one loss all year to Mays South. They've won 9 in a row after starting the year 11-0. Gerkhart loses the ball. He dives after it. So does Pauls. Pauls has it. Calls a timeout, and Beloit has possession. The 30-second timeout called by Beloit. 61-58. Lions, 1:25 to go. Back after this. Well, you work all year long. You put in the practice. You have the tournaments. Put in the plays. It comes down to a minute 25 in your season. Sub-state semifinals. Neutral floor here in Hoisington. Beloit, the number 1 seed at 20-1, trailing the 5 seed Lions, who's 10-11 on the year. 61-58, Lions with a 3-point lead. Beloit with the ball to the timeout. Peyton Vedder, 3 from the corner for the tie off the heel, no good. He had a decent look at it, but off the mark. And a foul called on Peyton Vedder. And McClure will go to the foul line. Peyton Vedder with his second personal, 17 foul. McClure to the line for a 1-1. Free throw no good by McClure. Misses the front end of the 1-1. That's a big miss. Beloit with the ball, a minute 8 to go. They don't have to have the 3. Bailey Vedder drives all the way. Layup good. It's a 1-point game. Bailey with 20 points and a timeout on the floor. 1:02 to go. It is 61-60 back after this. Welcome back. It's Peyton Vedder on the floor along with Bailey Vedder, Colson Reams, Hunter Butke, and Sam Pauls. Lions with the ball. They lead Beloit 61-60. 1:02 to go, fourth quarter. 3A sub-state semifinal. The winner moves on. The loser done for the year. Lions trying to pull off the stunner. Bringing it up the floor is McClure. Beloit tries to trap. McClure is ready for it. He's looking to pass. Wraparound pass. It's kicked out of bounds by, I believe, Pauls. 53.5 on the clock. Most people will be surprised this is a tight game. A lot of people would be shocked if Beloit lost this game. I see enough parity in basketball, and I saw Lions play at the Sterling Tournament. I knew this was a dangerous team. I still expected Beloit to come through, and they still could. As here's a drive to the bucket on the baseline. Jared, and is fouled by Reams, and for Colson, that's his fourth. And 47 seconds is an eternity, especially in a one-point game. Because now, even if you're a great foul shooter, it's twice as hard to make them because of the pressure of the situation. Hunter Butke out, R.J. Jackson in. Jackson with 4 personals. Reams also with 4. James Jared with 4. He's at the line. Jared, a 60% foul shooter. He has been the star tonight with 17 points and 4 threes for Lions. And the free throw is good. He has 18. Jared coming in, averaging 8.5 points per contest. He has gone off for 18 tonight.
And you can't game plan for something like that. And that's what happens in a one-and-done situation. We see it in the NCAA tournament all the time. Second free throw by Jared is good. Big free throws by the senior. 63-60. Beloit with 42 seconds to play. Beloit down by three. Lions with the lead. Peyton Vetter hands off to Bailey Vetter. Beloit doesn't have to have a three here. He could go for the two. Peyton's going to shoot a deep three top of the key just short. Rebound Kirkhart and fouled by Bailey Vetter. And for Bailey, that's his third. It's now 63-60, 29 seconds to go. Kirkhart hits the first free throw, makes it a two-possession game. Second free throw, no good. Rebound goes to Bailey Vetter. 64-60, Lions, 25 seconds to go. Bailey Vetter, step back three, bounces off. The ball tipped out by Jackson, but it goes right to McClure. Fouled by Reams. 18 seconds to go, and Lions is smelling the upset. 18.5 seconds to go, and Beloit down four. Luke Hesting will come into the ballgame as Reams has fouled out. The sophomore finishes with 7 points, 2 of 2 from the line, and ends up with 33 pointers so far on the season. I say so far because this game is still not over. I know it's a two-possession game, but even McClure hits both of these, it's still a two-possession game. He's been shaky at the line tonight. He's 3 of 6. Free throw on the way, in and out. Make it 3 out of 7. Beloit, once again, I would say this. If McClure makes this, or even misses it, Beloit, go down and take it to the rack real quick. Try to get a quick two. Don't have to have the three right off the bat. Free throw. McClure left it short, and Beloit has it. McClure 3 of 8 from the line. Here's Bailey Vetter bringing up the floor. He drives, puts it up with a scoop. No. Tries to follow his own shot. He does. Lays it up and in. 10 seconds to go. Beloit burns their final timeout. That was the way to do it. 64-62 Lions. We've got 11 ties in this ballgame. 10.1 seconds left. Lions has one full timeout remaining if they get in trouble or can't get it in within the 5 second allotment. Jackson Hesting, Bailey Vetter, Peyton Vetter, Colson Riemann on the floor for Boyd for defensive purposes. Reams out of the game with 5 fouls. Watch out for the home run pass here. The baseball pass. McClure looked at it. There it is. There's the baseball pass. They get it to Pena. Pena has it. And then lost it off his knee out of bounds. R.J. Jackson flicks it away and off of Pena's knee and out of bounds. Boy, Lions had the perfect play drawn up on the baseball pass. And it was a perfect pass by McClure. Timeout called by Lions, their final timeout. It was the perfect play on the out-of-bounds. You fake the short pass. McClure, a perfect baseball pass down the floor to Pena. Pena caught it, and instead of trying to go towards the hoop for a layup, he was smart. He was trying to bring in the pass, grab it, haul it into his chest, be ready for possibly a foul. But as he caught the ball, came down with it, R.J. Jackson just got a finger on the ball, flicked it away, and it went off of the knee of Pena and out of bounds. And the official, to his credit, in the right position on top of the play, called it perfectly, and Beloit will get another chance. There are no more timeouts for either team. 64-62 Lions, 9.1 seconds to play here in the fourth quarter. Full court pressure by Lions. Hesting, Bailey Vetter, Colson Riemann, R.J. Jackson, Peyton Vetter on the floor. Remember, Reams is fouled out. They get it into Bailey Vetter. Bailey with the dribble, brings it up the floor. Bailey gives it up to Jackson. Jackson wide open. Layup good! Layup good! And that is the end of the regulation period. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. Bailey Vetter dribbling through a whole bunch of traffic. Navigating rush hour at 5 o'clock. Gets into the lane and didn't force it. Dish it to R.J. Jackson, still in the lane, and R.J. took his time, laid it up and in, and then the ball got away for Lions as they were trying to throw it in for a desperation heave, and Beloit comes back to tie it at 64. 64-64 tie as we head into overtime. Tip is controlled by Beloit, and the Beloit fans standing up and applauding as they went nuts a moment ago, as I did. 64-64, 3:50 to go in overtime. Bailey Vetter drives, wild scoop, no, but a foul called. And I love it. I love the aggressive nature of Bailey Vetter. You don't sit back on your heels now that you're in overtime. You keep taking it to him. Pena just picked up his fourth. 10 team fouls on Lions. So two free throws for Bailey Vetter, who has 22 points. Make it 23 for Bailey. 3 of 4 from the line. And now we have substitution. Hunter Buckey is in there for Beloit. Jackson goes out. That's offensive for defensive substitution. Jackson with 4, you take him out. You want Hunter Buckey out there for defense to keep RJ away from a fifth foul. Second free throw for Bailey Vetter on the way. This one he left short and rebound to McClure. So 1 of 2 Bailey, and it's 65-64 Beloit. We are in overtime. The season on the line for both. How will Lions respond after having an 8-point lead to start the fourth quarter and they saw it evaporate? Jarrett, step back 3. That's how they answer. Foot was on the line. Foot was on the line. That was a 2. Well, that was a long 3. Barely on the line. Peyton Vetter back the other way. Spin dribble, lost it. Dives and tips it out to his brother, Bailey Vetter. 66-65 Lions. Bailey Vetter, pump fake. Out of Hunter Buckey, his jumper baseline. Rolls off the cup. No. Falls fighting for the loose ball. Out of bounds. Last touch by Paul. Lions fans want over the back, but both teams going for the loose ball. Had a right to it. 66-65. James Jarrett has been wonderful tonight with 21 for Lions. Lions with the ball leading by 1 in OT. With it is Ryan McClure, the 6'1 senior, who has 12 points. Had big plays tonight, but he also had the missed free throws that left the door open for Beloit. Kirkhart, who's had a solid second half. 9 of his 11 in the second half. Here's McClure, finds a crease, goes all the way to hoop, misses the layup because Peyton fouled him hard up high. Peyton better with the foul. Paul's got too far away from the bucket. McClure saw that. I saw it as well over here. And that's just a breakdown there by Paul. He got sucked up too high defensively. That's a third on Peyton Vetter. And now McClure to the line. Ryan McClure is a 62% foul shooter tonight, 3 of 8. Free throw is good. He makes this one. He's probably saying to himself, why didn't I make those earlier when we were up 4 and I could have made it 6 and really tough on Beloit? It was 18 and a half seconds to go when McClure stepped to the line. He could have made it 66-60. He didn't miss one, he missed both. Then Beloit got a quick layup with 10 seconds to go. Then they forced the turnover. And then Jackson with a layup of 3 seconds. And then time expired to force OT. Second free throw is good by McClure. He hits both. And McClure with 14 on the night. It's 68-65. Lions back in front by 3. Here's Bailey Vetter. Dribble drive, stop, kicks it out to Riemann. Riemann, open jumper. Good! Colson Riemann with 17 on the right side. His first points of the game. How about that for the 6'1 sophomore? Who hasn't played hardly at all tonight. 68-67, Lyons. McClure picks up the dribble near half court. Bad place to pick it up. In the far corner, Kirkhart. Double team, drive, spins around Paul. Shot up, that's off the mark. Ball tipped around, out of bounds, left touch by Beloit. Jackson fortunate not to pick up his fifth foul as he went over the back for that rebound. And Coach Siley, seeing that, is going to bring Butkey in, and Jackson will go out. 2:21 to go in overtime. It has been a tremendous ball game. Long lobs it all the way out of half court near the Cardinal logo here at Hoisington. Wade Gershon with you tonight on Katie Country 94 and on the web, katiecountry94.com. Hope you've enjoyed the game as much as we have enjoyed bringing it to you tonight. It's been a barn burner pretty much the entire night. Here's James Jarrett. He's been the star with 21 points for Lions, coming in averaging 9, and he's hit 4 threes. McClure's had a nice night, but boy, some decent job on him. He's been held to 14. Bounce pass, Kirkhart, open jumper, partially blocked by Paul. Rebounded off the deflection by Butkey. And now Colson Riemann looking to get to somebody, and he finds Bailey Vetter. Minute 45 to go in overtime. Bailey Vetter into the lane, stops, up and under, puts up the shot. Bailey off the heel, no. Paul's the rebound. Out to Peyton Vetter. Peyton steps in, lobs it. Oh, it hits Paul's in the head. But Butkey's there to lay it up and in. Paul turned the rebound because he thought Peyton was going to shoot it. Peyton threw it to Paul, who had his back turned to the bucket, and the ball bounced off Sam Paul's head and right to Butkey, laid it up and in. That is all about the power of the headband, ladies and gentlemen. 69-68. Beloit inside shot. No good for McClure, but he'll go to the line. He's fouled. So Beloit down 3 in overtime with 4 unanswered. And Butkey with the layup to give Beloit a lead for a moment. So a minute 13 to go in overtime. Free throw on the way, McClure, and he hits it. McClure 6 of 11 from the stripe. Has 15 points. Jackson is in for offense. Butkey goes out after he had a big lay-in. That foul, by the way, was on Sam Paul's, his third. Sam's done a nice job staying out of foul trouble since early on. Both teams in double bonus. Free throw, McClure. That one off the mark. Gets his own rebound, lays it up and in.
Coach Eilert said that was a violation. He came across the line before the ball hit the rim, and I think he's right. But in fairness, too, that would never happen if Beloit boxed out the shooter. Peyton Better steps in, puts up the shot. It bounces around, hit in! Counted at a foul, and we're tied again. It's 71. Chance for a three-point play. Landeros with the personal, and Peyton Better with the bucket as he got the friendly roll. He has 14. Wow. Jared is back in with his four personals. Free throw, Peyton, it rolls in there. 72-71 Beloit. Peyton with the three-point play. Minute to go in overtime. Better now with 15 points. 50 seconds to go in OT. Beloit 72, Lions 71. The one seed trying to hang on and move to the fifth state final for the fifth straight year. McClure launches a three left wing. That's way off the mark. Ball tipped out. And Riemann gets to it, the sophomore for Beloit. Dribbles out of pressure. Lobs it ahead to Bailey Better. Has a two-on-one. Bailey drives. Going to go all the way. Offensive foul. Beloit fans can't believe it. Bailey had a chance to dish it to Butkey. Decided to take it himself. And sliding in, Kirk Hart to take the charge. And Bailey Better just picked up his fourth personal. That was questionable. 32 seconds to go. Butkey's out there on defense. Jackson is on the scores table, but couldn't get in time to replace Butkey. 24 seconds to play. In overtime, 72-71 Beloit. Lions going to hold for the final shot and try to win in overtime. Now Lions going to call a timeout, the one they get going into OT. 11.2 seconds to play. 72-71. Perhaps your heart is racing wherever you are listening to the game right now. It should be, especially if you're a Beloit or Lions fan. If you're a neutral fan just listening, your heart might be racing. 11.2 to go in OT. Beloit clinging to a one-point lead, 72-71. They lob it into McClure. He's going to go one-on-one against Peyton Better. Beloit on a man-to-man defense. McClure wants a high screen. He gets it from Pena. McClure trying to drive. The ball's knocked away. Bailey Better has it. Then he loses it. Pena gets it ahead to McClure, and that's the ball game. Beloit wins. 72-71 in overtime. Beloit moves on. Survive in advance. Unbelievable. Beloit saw their season, quite frankly, going down the drain. And they somehow recover, force overtime, get down three in overtime, and then had to get a stop 11 seconds to go. What a game this was. What a game this was. 11 ties in the contest, a lot of lead changes in the second half. Beloit survives and advances. Beloit 72-71, the final in overtime.
We hope you enjoyed another edition of Comeback Rally Week here on KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, and on the sports ticket. Beloit winning in overtime, as you heard, 72-71 in overtime back in 2014. That win put Beloit into the sub-state championship game against TMP, and Beloit would knock off the Monarchs 62-53. That put Beloit into the state tournament, where they came from behind and beat Wellsville down 17 in the first half, knocked off Wellsville 52-46, defeated Nemaha Valley in the semifinals 58-54, before falling to Heston in the state championship of 2014 by a final of 59-54. Beloit ended the 2014 season second in Class 3A. They went undefeated in league play at 12-0, finished with a 24-2 record. If you'd like a copy of that broadcast or any other games we've done in the past, whether it be volleyball, football, basketball, whatever the case may be, give us a call at station at 545-3220.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.